Just pray, Lord, that you would just press upon our hearts to follow after you in a deeper way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're still in our summer series called There's a Psalm for That. We're dealing with our emotions. And today in Psalm 63, we're dealing with the emotional commitment of devotion. The emotional commitment of devotion. So if you're devoted to something or someone, you may say things like, I'm dedicated, giving your time and energy completely to a cause or a task. You might say you're committed, bound by a strong, unwavering decision to stick to something. You might say you're loyal, you're faithful and true, never turning your back on something. You might say, I'm all in, wholeheartedly invested without any reservation. Or you might say, I am passionate, driven by a deep, intense emotional connection to whatever you're devoted to. Now, the setting of Psalm 63 is David in the wilderness of Judah. He was on the run. He was fleeing for his life from people that wanted to kill him. Theologians do not know whether this is when Saul was pursuing him and wanted to kill him, or if this was decades later when Absalom, his son, led up a rebellion against him. Now, I tend to take the view that it was the latter, because when Saul was pursuing David, David was not the king yet, but you'll see in verse 11 when we get there, it says, the king shall rejoice. So I think that was probably the latter. But in both cases, he fled to the dry and arid wilderness to hide for protection. And in this psalm, we see David's outpouring of devotion to the Lord. We see his outpouring of devotion to the Lord, which is an emotional release. Now, then we see blessings from the Lord for being devoted to him. So the rhythm of this psalm, as we go through, and you'll see, it's outpouring of devotion, then blessing. Outpouring of devotion, then blessing. So we start off with his outpouring of devotion. And let's look. In verse 1, it says, Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. So our devotion for God starts with seeking after him. The starting point for each person is the gospel message. We are all sinners in need of a savior. Jesus is that savior. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And Jesus said, all who believe in him will have eternal life. All who believe in him were once blind, but now we spiritually see. We were once lost, now we're found. We're saved, we're born again when we trust in Jesus. So that's the starting point of our devotion. We are technically seeking after God, but God was seeking after us as well. And do you realize this? You are in the place that you are in because God wants you to see who he is. Acts 17 was our scripture reading this morning. It says this, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. God placed you where you are because he wants you to seek after him. He wants to communicate to you. Those of you that do trust in Jesus may remember the time before you trusted in Jesus. The time before you trusted him, you were kind of seeking him, and you might have not even known it. You had an uneasiness. You were looking for purpose in life. Although you might not have said to yourself, I need to find out who this God is, you may have been thinking, you know what? There's got to be more to this life than just what's right in front of me. There's got to be more. So you started maybe asking or looking or seeking. In the case of David and this psalm, he already knew who God was. He knew who God was, but he was a man on the run from his enemies. And because he was in this dry wilderness, he was physically thirsty and probably looking for water. But this served as a reminder. I'm not only physically thirsty, my soul thirsts after God. My soul thirsts after him. I want to focus my attention on him. I need guidance from him. That's what David was thinking when he was saying this. I need guidance. What should I do? I mean, think about it. He's a man on the run with enemies coming for him. He's hiding out and he's thinking about these things. What's going to happen to me? Am I going to die? What's going on here? So then it goes on to say, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Where there is no water. When we're parched and dehydrated and feel faint, like David's reminding himself, without focusing on my relationship with the Lord, it's kind of like fainting. It's like losing control. If you've ever fainted before, that's what basically happens. You lose control. You don't mean to faint, you just do. David's saying, you know what? If I don't focus in on the Lord, it's kind of just like I'm like losing control. But God is the one who is in control. So he goes on to say this. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. So now we realize this, that David lost his access to the sanctuary. He wasn't able to worship at this point in the sanctuary because he was out in the wilderness. But that did not impact his devotion to the Lord. Those days when he was able to worship, he freely beheld the power and glory of the Lord. So he was thinking back on that. Oh yeah, that's God. He has power. He has the glory. I have to remember that. But now we shift to blessings from the Lord. So remember, outpouring of devotion, then blessings from the Lord. Because your steadfast love is better than life. We sang that in the first song. God's steadfast love is better than life. God's unwavering love should inspire our devotion to him. In fact, here David is saying it is better than life, probably meaning this. Losing his life for the Lord's sake would be worth it. It's basically what David is saying. Losing my life for your sake would be worth it. The most important thing, do you realize this? The most important thing we have in this world is our life if we don't have a relationship with the Lord. Do you realize that? If you don't believe in the Lord, the most important thing you have in this world is your life. For unbelievers, the most important thing they have in this world is their life. But for the believer, the most important thing we have is our relationship with the Lord. Because guess what? Our physical life will eventually end. Our physical life could actually be taken from us by someone else. But guess what can't? Our relationship with the Lord. So although we might lose our physical life, our relationship with the Lord and our spiritual life still stands. When we enter into his love, we realize that even our physical life cannot compare to what we spiritually have in the Lord, and no one can take that away. David was feeling that. Remember, he was on the run from his enemies. So he's like, you know what's more important? You. Your love is more important than my own life. So back to an outpouring of devotion. It says, my lips will praise you. Now, later in this psalm, David says he will sing. So I think this praising God with his lips is meant to be taken as he will praise God with the things that he says. Now, this is very important for you and I as believers. We should be talking about the great things that God has done in our lives with one another. Do you realize that? We should be talking about the great things God has done in our lives with one another. We should be talking about the great things that God has done in our lives with non-believers. It's actually a way to praise him. It's actually a way to praise him. We get so caught up, I'm guilty of this as well. We get so caught up in talking about so many other things that we forget about talking and giving credit to the Lord for the great things that he has done in our lives. We forget to talk about how great he is. We forget to share our faith with other people. We go about each day talking about the things of our lives, but we forget to praise him with our lips. So he goes on and he says, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. So part of our devotion to the Lord is upholding the Lord's reputation before others. This is how we bless him. Now, clearly, the Lord doesn't need us to defend him. The Lord doesn't need me to defend him. Like, oh, you got this beef against God? I'm gonna defend him. He doesn't need me, okay? He doesn't need me, but why not stand up for him? Why not stand up for God when people are mocking the faith and saying unfair things about him and his word. You know, many times we don't stand up for our faith or we don't stand up for the Lord because we're embarrassed. But maybe for you, oftentimes it's because you feel like you don't know enough. Somebody says something mocking or anti the faith, anti-Christian, anti-the-Bible, anti-God, and you feel like, well, I don't want to speak up because I don't know enough. Well, here's a little counsel for you. If you feel like you don't know enough, no more, okay? No more. And here's how you do it, okay? You start with the questions that you have and get those questions answered, right? So if you feel like you don't know enough, you have questions that you don't have answered, you start with those. You know, on our church website and our church app, we have a resource link. It has all these different websites, all these different apologetic type things that you can actually study. We went through all these things because they're solid theological truths. So no more. Get into the Word. You know, the truth is, there's about 15 or 20 questions that people have. And over the years, they're just repackaged in different ways because they're the same root issues. Guaranteed, you've had those questions. You find out the answer for yourself, and guess what? You're equipping yourself to help other people with those very same questions. So when you learn how to answer and deal with those root issues, you're actually blessing the Lord. You're lifting your hands up and saying, I follow Jesus. Here's why. You know, so many times when we look at this, we lift our hands up. We think that's like, oh, when we sing songs, I lift my hands up, right? No, we're saying, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. You say something about him or you have a question about him? Yeah, I'm here. Ask me. Talk to me. I love him. He loves me. I want to tell you how great he is. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to debate with you. I just want to tell you. I want to bless you as long as I live. Tell you about the great things that he has done. Back to blessings from the Lord. It says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. Now remember, David's out in the dry, arid wilderness. What do you think he's thinking about? Ooh, I'm thirsty and ooh, I'm hungry. Have you ever had a nice meal? You ever had a nice meal? Good quality food, just enough of it. Oh, it's so nice, isn't it? Not that greasy fast food, not overindulging in something and feeling disgusting after you're done. Not that, just a really nice, good meal and just enough. How do you feel? You feel satisfied, don't you? You're like, yeah, that's what David's saying. I'm sure. As he was thinking in his hunger, this was a reminder. No, you know, no, I have to be satisfied in the Lord. So he says, my soul is satisfied in you. This is the type of satisfaction that comes from the Lord when we have devotion towards him. Back to outpouring of devotion. He says, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. You know, back to what he's speaking about is giving praise with our lips. He's saying with joyful lips. This is a reference to the fact that believers in the Lord should be filled with joy. And that joy is shown by what we say. You know, I talk about this a lot. Like, you don't want to be like the Eeyore Christian, right? You want to be like Tigger. Yeah, right? You want to be the one that's like joyful. The believer should be known for positive words, words that build one another up. The glass is not half empty, it's half full. That's what the believer should be known for, the joy that we have. It's sad to say that many of us fall in the trap of griping and complaining and not spreading joy, spreading complaints. And I can tell you this, anytime that I fall into that trap, I know people don't really want to be around me. And I can tell you this, when I see somebody like that, I'm walking the other way, right? I don't want to be around that. I don't want to be around people's negativity. I want people to be joyful. I'm not saying there's no time for grief, but what I am saying is the Christian should be known for joy. In verse 6, David is meditating and thinking about God. That's how we're known for joy, when we meditate and think about God. Part of our devotion to the Lord is filling our minds with what the Lord has said. The only way you're going to do that is through the Scripture, through spending time in His Word, learning more about His Word. Today we have the great privilege of not only having God's written word, but we have it loaded up, right? In all our devices, we can listen to it. We can hear it. Not only that, we can memorize it. How many of you have memorized scriptures before? I can tell you this. All of the scriptures that I have memorized in my life have stuck with me. I might not remember exactly where it is at some points in my life, but I know the scripture. I know it's there. Oh, that reminds me of when the scriptures say this. When I'm preparing for you, so many times I'm like, okay, that reminds me of this scripture. That reminds me of that scripture. It's on his bed in the watches of night, he's thinking and meditating about the things of the Lord. It signifies being quiet, the watches of night. Do you have that quiet time? Is there a time in your day where it's quiet? I know some of you are actively parenting right now. And you know, you might even tomorrow morning, you get up and you're like, I'm gonna get up a little early for the kids, and I'm gonna be with the Lord. And then you get up and you get your Bible and you get your coffee and you're like, yeah, and then you hear, Dad, Mom! You're like, kid, I wanna be with the Lord, right? It's hard sometimes, right? But we have to carve these times out. Whenever you can get that time, whether it be in the middle of the day, nighttime, but it signifies this quiet hearing from the Lord. Back to the blessings from the Lord. For you have been my help and in the shadow of your wings. So a blessing you and I have as believers is the Lord helps us. So with what, you might be asking? Everything. No matter what is going on in your life, the Lord is there to help you. God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. With that help comes protection. The shadow of your wings is a picture of a mother bird protecting her baby bird, sheltering that baby bird with her wing. But think about this. When you need help and get help, it protects you, doesn't it? Maybe it's even help and protection from yourself. You have some bad ideas. You're making some bad decisions. And God's leading you away from those things. He's protecting you from going the wrong way. He protects you from danger. He protects us from sometimes our own bad decisions. His help and protections are actually blessings for us. So we need to lean into those things. Next, the outpouring of devotion is I will sing for joy. You know, part of our devotion to the Lord is singing. And in this case, singing for joy. But have you ever wondered, like, why singing? Why singing? I mean, realistically, there's not many places where you sing with a lot of people, but church is one of those places. But the Lord knows that it's good for us. And there's a bunch of studies out there, and I learned a few things about singing this week when I was preparing for you. Studies have found that singing ignites neurochemical shifts that impact endorphins. These natural painkillers are released during singing, and they lift up our mood. Kind of like the exercising. So singing also does that. It lifts up our mood. And some of you realize this. Some of you who like to sing, or like, you know, some of you who don't admit you like to sing, but in your car on your way to work, you're singing and you think you're in private and the person next to you sees you, you realize that this is something that you do because it lifts up your mood. Singing also impacts oxytocin, known as the bonding hormone. Its levels rise significantly when singing, which reduces anxiety and fosters a feeling of trust. Singing also results in cortisol reduction. Studies show that singing actively lowers cortisol, the body's primary stress hormone, calming the nervous system. You've heard that quote, music calms the savage beast. Have you heard that before? That's why, okay? God created it. He created it to calm us. This one's real interesting. Studies have also found that singing brings social synchronization. Meaning this, when people sing together, their heartbeats and breathing patterns literally synchronize. Isn't that cool? Some of you guys are watching the World Cup, right? You're watching these games and you hear in the background, you hear the announcers, but you hear in the background, whoa, 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 whoa. It's like literally like 70,000 people, or maybe 35,000 on each side, right? They're singing their songs of their team. And the team's out there, and what are they doing? They're like, they're singing our songs, right? I got to score a goal. They're synchronized. They're synchronized. They love to hear that because they feel they're together. You know what? This is why singing together for us is so important. You come here on Sundays, we're singing together in unison. The body of Christ coming together, singing over one purpose, who the Lord is and what he's done. It's powerful because it unifies us around the purpose of praising the Lord and who he is. So next is the outpouring of devotion. My soul clings to you. The idea is, here is clinging. It's like sticking like glue. That's how devoted we should be. You know, this reminds me of in John chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching in the synagogue about how he was the one who can spiritually nourish people by calling himself the bread of life. Now, many people thought that this was a very bizarre statement. So it actually says in John 6, after this, many of his disciples turned their back and no longer walked with him. So they heard this bizarre teaching and they're like, I'm not following this guy. Then Jesus looked at the 12, it says in John 6, 67, he looked at the 12 and he said, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered kind of like a representative for the 12. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. In other words, what Peter was saying is, I'm sticking to you like glue. I'm sticking with you. You're the one. You're the one that has the words of eternal life. You're the one who has salvation. I'm not turning my back on that. This is a reminder for us in our devotion to the Lord. You remember those 12? Remember what happened to them? They stuck to Jesus. Jesus died. He rose from the grave, spent some time with them, ascended into heaven. And all those disciples, you know, they died, you know, in the peaceful home, surrounded by loved ones, right? No way. They were martyred. They stuck to Jesus like glue. They were martyred for it. This is a reminder for us of our devotion to the Lord. There will be times when we don't understand things about God, about the Word, about things that happen to us, things that are hard to accept. There's going to be times, I can guarantee, that you and I will all go through times that are very low, very difficult to accept. And you could either, as I've said so many times, you could either run from God or run to him. Stick to him like glue. That's what Peter and the disciples did. I'm sticking to him because he is the one that holds the words of eternal life. He is the one that we need to cling to. That's our devotion to him. And when it becomes difficult to cling to him, here comes the Lord with his blessings again. Your right hand upholds me. So when you're going through those tough times, he's going to hold you up. He's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry. You're thinking, I can't take care of this. I can't take care of myself. Well, guess what? You have one that's way more powerful than you, and he's there to uphold you. This is how our Christian life works. We're devoted to him. He blesses us. He holds us up. He's there for us. But do you know who are not blessed by the Lord? Those that have no devotion to him. Those that have a devotion to something other than God. In this case, the next verse, David is saying, actually, those who have a devotion to actually harming him. Here's what he says. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. The enemies of David were in many senses the enemies of God because at this time, David was God's anointed. These enemies were devoted to harming David. And in this verse, it's telling us they will be defeated. They will not even have a proper burial, he's saying. The jackals will eat their dead bodies. That's what he's saying. They're not going to be blessed for their devotion. Now, most people that you and I know are not devoted to bringing harm to people that are serving God. Most people in your life are not, you know, trying to bring harm to you. But many people are devoted to something other than God. And because of that, they will not experience the blessing that God has for them. Because they're devoted to something else. But finally, we have the result. Result is this. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult. For the mouths of liars will be stopped. The end of the matter is this. Devotion to the Lord results in blessings. Devotion to the Lord results in blessings from him. And we can rejoice and exult and celebrate in those blessings. The more we're devoted to the Lord, the more we'll experience his blessings. Devotion to evil and anything other than the Lord will eventually be stopped. Let me just tell you this. God will stop you in your tracks because he loves you. He's going to stop you. You're going towards something else. God's going to stop you. Nope, come back. I love you. Come back. It might hurt a little, but he's going to say, come back. And he wants you to come back so badly. So devotion to evil or anything other than the Lord will be stopped. In the case of David here, he's saying, you know, I know God's going to take care of the enemies. I know he is. You know, for you and I today, communion's a way to show our devotion, isn't it? We're devoted to the fact that Jesus did what he said he was going to do, which was pay the price for our sins. His body was broken, his blood was shed in your place for your sins. When we observe communion, that's what we're remembering. It's for believers. Communion's for believers to remember what Jesus did. It's an act of devotion towards him. But communion's also a way for us to receive a blessing, and here's how that works. If you're going the wrong way, you're not feeling very blessed, and that's true. So when you come to the communion table, the scriptures teach us to evaluate your own life, where you're going wrong. You know what? The withholding of blessing from God is often a wake-up call for us. So maybe there's an area of your life where you're just going the wrong way. And, you know, nobody's coming to you and pointing out and saying, well, this is going wrong, this is going wrong, and this is going wrong because you're going the wrong way. But you, in your heart of hearts, know, I am not following the Lord. And it doesn't seem like things are lining up for me. It just does not seem like things are going the way they should be going. Part of that might be just your devotion is out of whack. You're not focusing in on the Lord. And only you can answer that question. Like I said, people aren't going to come around and point at you. It might make you very defensive if they do that anyway. This is between you and the Lord. Like, am I really focusing on him? Be honest with yourself. Communion's the time for you to be honest with yourself and honest with the Lord and give those things up to him. Talk to him. So I'm going to give you a few moments just on your own, and then we're going to partake together.